Now, how many of you all would like to follow that? Ministry is no place for the timid. I'll tell you for sure. Well, it sounds like, for benefit of the tape, there was a strong exhortation that came by the Spirit through Pastor Jim before I got up to speak tonight. I'll say one thing after hearing that. I think this would be a real timely season to hear some messages on following Jesus. Amen. See, the covenant that I shall make with them in those days will not be as that I made with the fathers when they came out of Israel, out of Egypt. It won't be like that where every man will teach his neighbor, you should know the Lord, but they'll all know me from the least to the greatest. Why did God... If the old covenant would have been sufficient, Jesus would never have had to suffer what he suffered. It wasn't sufficient. He had to suffer what he did in order to make the new birth possible so we could receive a nature, and I mean each one of us individually, so we could receive that nature on the inside in order to have a capacity to be taught by God. Then not only did he give us that nature, he gave each one of us this opportunity, if you want it, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So you not only have a nature that can be taught, but you have resident within you the teacher who came to teach that nature. There will be no excuses on that day. There'll be no excuse. He's made every provision. Now let's just talk real plain. It's important for you individually to learn to follow Jesus. Let's just talk real plain. Now nobody who drank that Kool-Aid in Guyana, those that followed Jim Jones and drank that Kool-Aid. Now, I'm sorry. That was a tragic thing. I'm sure there were a lot of sweet people that died there. But now you'd have to say this. Not one of them knew how to follow Jesus. Not one of them. Now, it's horrible and it's tragic. It is. Jesus didn't lead any of them there. All right? Now, while I was in South Africa, I don't want to mention denominations. Listen, they're going to be talking about us, but we're not going to be talking about them. You understand what I'm saying? We're just going to preach the truth. There is a major denomination in South Africa, and I'm sure there's born-again people in it, like there's born-again people in every denomination. But one of the things that I heard, a man that is now born-again and spirit-filled and helped sponsor us while I was in South Africa, he said he attended this church, this particular church, for 45 years. Now, he's about my age. I'm 56. He says, I attended that church for 45 years and never got born again. Never heard enough of the truth to even get born again. He wound up getting born again because some people invited him to go on one of these weekend retreats for men. He thought that was a good idea, so he went on it. And there, finally, he heard the gospel and understood that he had to actually receive Jesus himself as his personal Savior and be born again. Now, that's a scary thing because that denomination where he's talking about, that church, is the biggest denomination in South Africa. You think the Lord is pleased with that? Not at all. But then, since then, I've had some time to reflect on that myself. Had he died in that condition and stood before Jesus on that day, you know what Jesus would have said? That is no excuse because you had a Bible the whole 45 years. Now see, we're coming into a day and an hour where it's not sufficient to just come and open your Bible on Sunday at church and follow along with the pastor. It's not sufficient to come and open your Bible on a Wednesday night and just follow along. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. I want to mention this because Jim said something about the crowds. It dawned on me, I haven't given you the report since we were here last time. Last time we were here, the next place we were going, now correct me if I'm wrong, this year has been like a fog to me. I've been all over the world since I was here. But weren't we going up to the Cascades? That little bitty church. Then we went to White Plains after that. I haven't been back since then, have I? Well, for those of you that didn't hear the story, that pastor had got a hold of our tapes somehow, and he found out on the tapes that we go to White Plains once a year. And he called me on the telephone and said, you know, I have a little church up here on the west side of the, not the Cascades, what is it up there? Catskills, right on the western side of the Catskills. He said, I'm only about 4 hours from White Plains. He says, let me ask you a question. Brother Gary, he kind of clearing his throat. how many people has to be there before you'll come? You know, now, as far as he knows, he doesn't know me yet. He may think we're a massive ministry or something, you know. Well, I'm listening to the Holy Ghost now. See, and this is the key, listening to the Holy Ghost, because we get invitations and have for years more than we could possibly go to if we went 52 weeks out of the year. So you have to learn to hear God, where to go and what. So I'm listening even while this man, and I'm already getting the witness from the Holy Ghost, we're supposed to go to this church. So as he's asking me that question, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, if Sue and I come to your church, will you be there? Well, yeah, I'll be here. I'm the pastor. I said, then we'll have a good time. He said, oh, good. He says, because my church right now, we're running about, I think he said, about 12 people. I said, well, listen, we had just gotten back from White Plains at that time. And I said, now, next year when I schedule White Plains and I know when we're going, I'll call you. And I don't care whether on the way up or on the way back, we can come and minister at your church. So nearly a year goes by, and I think he was shocked when I called him back. I really did call him after I'd made arrangements in White Plains, and I said, okay, we're coming on these dates. And of course, we were coming here first and then going to White Plains, and I said, I can stop and do some meetings on the way up, or I can do them on the way back. What would you prefer? And he said, well, it'd be better for us on the days going up there. And he says, could you hurry? He says, we're down to 8 now. Well, that's what happened the last time we were here. We preached here, and then we were going directly to that little church. Now, we had sent out some flyers, you know, like we normally do, to people on our mailing list in the area. So we had about 40 people show up, which for him was kind of about filled his little church up. He was, bless God, you know. You know? Oh, they drove for hours in the snow. And when we got there, they had already had 60 inches of snow on the ground, and it was snowing, okay, when we got there. Unadilla, New York. If you want to look it up, trust me, it's little. Unadilla, New York is where we were. So we get there, and we had about 40 people. We did a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night, and then we drove on to White Plains the next day. Some of those people drove for hours and hours, long distance, through the snow to get there. But I'm telling you all that to take. Now, we preached. It was good. We prayed for people, some fell down. I'm sure some of them were CDs. You know what I mean by that? Courtesy drops. I'm sure, you know. I'm not impressed anymore whether they fall down or whether they don't fall down. Do they get help? That's all I care about, you know. Do they get help from God? That's all I care about. You know. You know, there wasn't any, to our eyes, we didn't see any major, you know, no missing hands grew out or anything like that. But we had a good time, and then we went on to White Plains, and we had a good time ministering there, and then we're back in Tulsa. And so a few weeks go back after we're back in Tulsa, and I get a phone call from this pastor. Now, before I tell you what he said, I got to tell you one person that we prayed, that one thing that happened in the prayer line. We were praying for people like you do at the end of a service. And his associate pastor, his wife, asked if she could stand in proxy for her best friend who lives in another state. And he said, well, sure, what's wrong with her? He said, well, she's only in her 40s, but she's got terminal cancer to the point she's already got no hair. She's already been through radiation. She's already been through chemotherapy. They've done everything medical science knows to do, and her body is still full of cancer, and they basically just sent her home to die. There is absolutely no hope. They've done everything. That her body is just full of cancer. She said, could I stand in proxy? Yes, you may. You know. Now, I'd like to tell you that the heavens opened and a beam of light shot down into my hands. But I'm going to tell you what it felt like. It felt like laying cold fish on a doorknob. I mean, we just did it by faith. But Father, this was our prayer. I remember this. As we laid, said, Father, as we lay our hands on this sister here, Father, lay your hand on her friend there. We command this cancer to die, leave her body. And I knew her name then. I said, she will live. We said, well, she will live and not die in Jesus' name. Didn't feel anything special. No trembling. I don't even remember whether she fell or didn't fall. It doesn't matter. We went on to the next one. So now, we're back in Tulsa. Okay, it's been weeks after that. I get a call from that same pastor. He says, you standing up or sitting down? I said, I'm standing up. He said, sit down. So I sat down. He says, you remember praying for my associate pastor's wife's best friend, the one who was eaten up with cancer? I said, yeah. He said, we got a report back from her today. She has to go in periodically for a checkup. They have to monitor her, how she's doing. They ran a CAT scan on her, and then they brought her in to run a second CAT scan because the first one had to be wrong. Absolutely no cancer in her body. Hallelujah. Now, those of you that were here last night, we were talking about what disqualified the rich young ruler's heart. Because Jesus definitely called the man. But what was it that disqualified him? He still had a heart of a hireling. What's in it for me? You remember when Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon? Mm-hmm. Hey, there was. I know what it is to serve mammon. I spent most of my life serving the stuff. Every decision I made, one way or another, if it didn't profit me, I wasn't going to do that. The Holy Ghost, for years and years, as I've yielded my spirit over to the Holy Ghost and let Him pray and pray. See, now here's the point. You don't go to an 8-member church if you're still serving mammon.
That's right.
Can you get the point?
Oh, yes.
You don't go to those if you're still serving mammon. I'm telling you, there is no substitute for letting your spirit commune one-on-one, face-to-face, with God the Holy Ghost. Whatever is in you that is still thorns and briars and things that can't be used, you know, see, there never was anything wrong with the seed in Mark 4. The seed was good in every ground. The seed is good. The new nature and God's Word and everything about God is good. What determines the fruit is the ground. This old boy, let me tell you, they don't come much stonier. They don't come much thornier. You threw, money, if you still got the love of money in you, it's like a thorn seed. But you know what makes it sprout? Money. You throw money on that, whew, you'll find out real quick if you got thorn seeds. Now see, Dave tells this story all the time. Most of you that's heard these tapes, you've heard this one. Y'all remember the lady who was a faithful little Pentecostal lady come to the church? I mean, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I mean, if the church doors were open, she was there. And her husband was a wealthy businessman, didn't care anything about God. He'd get so mad at her. I get tired of you being gone to them meetings all the time, you know. Sometimes he'd lock the door on her and he just gave her a hard time. But she was faithful, faithful. One day he just up and died. A total surprise to himself. You know, he just wake up dead. And suddenly now, this little Pentecostal holiness woman is suddenly the sole beneficiary of millions upon millions of dollars. We know pastors like to be humble. But the little pastor of that Pentecostal church, I'm sure he was sorry about her loss. But there's a part of him that's going, oh, that tithe check. But that tithe check never came. And it was amazing. As weeks went by, as her cars got longer, her attendance got shorter. And after a little, for years she had been sitting on the front row. And then little by little she was in the middle row. And then eventually in the back row. It got to the point where the only power she ever went out under, when she raised her hands, the gold on her wrist would pull her over backwards, you know. So the church member said, after seeing this, eventually she just wasn't even coming anymore. They said, wisdom, religion says, It would have been better if she had never gotten that money. Oh, really? See, that's like saying when you turn the light on in a dirty attic, look at all the dirt this light brought. No, all the light did was expose the dirt. And in the same way, if you want to find out real quick if there's some thorn seeds of the love of money, there's nothing that will expose it like throwing some money on it. See, some people are holy because they don't have enough money to sin in the manner they would like to. And I'm telling you, it's a progressive walk. When the Lord was teaching Sue and I the principles of stewarding the pound, and most of you, I think, have heard those messages, progressive obedience, and we were learning these principles, and we had set up a budget, and we set up another account, which was the Lord's pound, and you know, it wasn't any problem when the Lord's pound was $50 and $100 and $25. You know, it wasn't any problem. But you know, there came a time one day, the first time it ever happened, suddenly the Lord's pound was $5,000. And we're fixing to write a check. I remember Sue and I are standing in our living room. We're writing out this check. I think we'd written it out. We're standing there holding this check. I don't know about her, but with all my might, I was trying to look just straight ahead and look holy and everything, you know. But my left eyeball, just the left one, it looked out the window at my 12-year-old pickup as I'm holding this $5,000 check. And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure Sue's left eyeball looked down at our 20-year-old carpet. 25-year-old carpet. This was several years ago. Anyway. Don't tell me there wasn't a twinge. Still some thorns in that ground. So you know what? Well, you know what we did? We gave it real quick. We gave it real quick. Pass that one. Glory to God. Take that, devil. But if he finds you faithful in little, he says, I can find you faithful in more. If I can find you faithful at the $100 level, then I can find you faithful at the $1,000 level. And if I can find you faithful at the $5,000 level, then perhaps I could trust you to be faithful with some more. Can you see this? Now, boy, that word from the Lord was something else. Paramasito. Yes, sir. Types and shadows from the Old Testament. See, if I was to have the blessing of being able to spend like a lunchtime with each one of you, and we got to talk somewhere in there, I'd probably ask you, what's your greatest desire? And most of you, one way or another, you'd say, boy, I'd really like to follow Jesus. Whatever time I have left on this earth, I'm tired of messing around. I'd like to know what His calling is and just walk with Him like arm in arm with Jesus. Wouldn't that be, you know, me too? And let's talk about some types and shadows. See, because when you start walking with Him there, that's when you've really entered the abundant life. Now, you've entered it in the sense of you are God's possession. You are born again. But remember, Israel didn't go from Egypt to the conquered Canaan land in a day, did they? You know, they tried to. They tried to. And it just wasn't in them to do it. So God spends the next 40 years having them in the wilderness. Now, what's happening during that time? You talk about types and shadows. The old man, the old generation, everybody that came out of Egypt except two, Joshua and Caleb and Moses, all of them died off. See, so wouldn't that be kind of a type of the death of the old man? You know? And at the same time, there's a new generation growing up who never knew bondage. Amen? See, if that's not a perfect type of mortification and simultaneous edification. John said it this way, I must decrease, He must increase. See, it's not that we don't want to do these things, but unless we let the Holy Spirit purge our ground, you just are what you are. So I don't want to be stony ground, but you are stony ground. But I want to handle big money for Jesus. And there's people that have that calling. I want to be a steward for the Lord, for example. Trouble is, every time God throws some money on your ground, you run off to Sears with it. Or someplace better than that now. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? A friend of ours at the prayer center, I was teaching on stewarding the pound and these things. And I was suggesting to him, I said, look, just ask the Lord. You know, see, I want to become a steward. I want to start learning how to do this. If you'll send me an extra $100, Lord, above and beyond my normal income, then I'll use that for your purposes. I'll listen to you and pray and find out what you want to do with it. So she thought that was a good idea. So she did that. She asked the Lord. And trouble is, several weeks went by. She asked the Lord for an extra $100. Trouble is, from the time of that prayer till it came, several weeks went by. When the extra $100 came, she'd forgotten all about the prayer. You know what she did with it? She went out and bought a pair of shoes. So she's driving home happy about her new shoes, and the Holy Ghost, knock, 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 hello. Didn't you tell me that if I sent you an extra $100, you would check with me to see what the Lord wants you to do with that? Oh, she was just so real. God likes it when you're real. She said, Lord, I totally forgot about that. I'll take these shoes right back now. I'll take them back right now, Lord, if that's what you want. He said, no, ask me for another $100. You keep the shoes, but ask me for another $100. So she did. Sure enough, little time went by, but this time she didn't forget. She asked the Lord for the $100, and when it came, then she says, now what do you want me to do with it? She said one of the best blessings she ever had in her life. He had her to take that money, buy some groceries for a family that absolutely needed it for their kids. She said, I enjoyed that more than the shoes. But see, we're going to have to come where we hear the Lord. I've been giving you some little things like, I want you to go to this 8-member church. That's all I need to know. You want me to go? Yes, Lord. Yeah, but, you know, and Jim took up an offering here. He heard from God before we even went there. See, now, I didn't ask for that. It wasn't even in my mind for you to do that, but God put it in His mind. So, you know, if I'd have thought about that, if I'd have been a money decision way back before we got here, and I'd have said, well, I just don't see how we can afford to go, you know, to this little 8-member church, then I would have missed that blessing. Because the Lord had a plan. We already had our expenses more than covered before we ever even got there. Isn't that something? Hey, here's a great revelation. If you're taking notes, you ought to write this down. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. You may have found out about a big problem today. It's a surprise to you. Guess what? It's not a surprise to Him. He knew about it 2 millennium ago, at least, before you were ever on the scene. And guess what? He's also already made provision for it. Nothing catches Jesus by surprise. Now, we can prove that from Scripture. Was that just yesterday? Yesterday we looked at John 21. Where Jesus, see, at first Peter, he thought he was ready too. He says, oh Lord, he says, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to do all, you know. Sounds like a lot of people I counsel with. I'm ready. Uh-huh. Everybody but you can tell you ain't. You know, like Dave talks about that salmon. All the rest of the salmon are going that way. And this one salmon, he's going, y'all wrong. Y'all wrong. I'm going this way. Peter thought he was ready, and he was serious. He wasn't mocking or anything. I'm ready to go die for you. But see, Jesus looking at his heart. No, you're not. You're not ready. I know you think you are, but you're not. What happened between there and John 21? Well, the cross, the resurrection, the new birth. By that time, Peter had denied the Lord. He wasn't dependent on his strength anymore. 3 times he denied the Lord. 3 times the Lord said, now, Peter, do you love me? And now Jesus looked at his heart and says, now you're ready. And notice, Jesus knew Peter's life from that moment all the way to the end of it. He already knew. He says, when you're old, we're looking many years ahead, this is how you're going to die. Now, if Jesus knew that moment and He knew the end, you reckon He knew the in between. So what is it you're worrying about? Well, just what is it that you're worrying about? He's already made provision. He knows your life from this day to the end. Nothing that ever happens is going to catch Him by surprise. I find great comfort in that. Yes, sir. I'm just having to wing it tonight. You okay? Okay. September 11th, the night before the Twin Towers, I was preaching in another little bitty church in South Carolina. Of course, now the night before, we didn't know what was going to happen the next day. Now, one thing, I have a teaching ministry. That's what the Lord has called me to be in the body. Trust me, He has not called me to sing. All right? I don't have the talent for it. He's not called me to sing. But that night, I was fixing the night before, September 11th, I was just fixing to teach my message. I knew exactly what He wanted to teach. But every time I'd get ready to start, I'd hear the Lord. So see, can you tell we're talking about hearing the Lord's voice for yourself? All I can do is give you examples. This makes no sense to my natural mind. I'm not a singer. And God didn't send me to South Carolina to sing. He sent me there to teach. You know, everything in my rational mind is fighting what I'm hearing. But I'm hearing Him say, sing this. So I finally did. Hey, I've learned. It's been a long, slow process, but I'm learned and I'm still learning. It's best to do what He says. So I just told Him, I says, I don't have any earthly idea why the Lord wants me to lead you all in this song. But I'm going to lead you in this song. And I said, I'm going to sing it this way because I think that's the way He wants us to do it. Now, you all ready? Now, think about what this song meant to them the next morning when they heard the news. Because You live, I can face tomorrow. Because You live, all fear is gone. Because I know You hold my future. Now life is worth the living just because You live. He knew what was coming tomorrow. And He had me lead them. We sang it like three or four times before I went into the teaching. You reckon that meant anything to them the next day? We can face tomorrow. Amen. I don't care what problem. I don't care how bad it may look. What situation you might be in. Nothing you're in has taken Jesus by surprise. Amen. If you learn to spend time with Him, learn to hear from Him, you can face tomorrow and all fear be gone. Glory to God. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. I know it is. I know it is. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to try for a few moments to do something in a way I've not done it before. Yes, sir. Last year I did a teaching here where we called it a good idea or a God idea. There's lots of good ideas. Lots and lots of good ideas. And the big danger is spending your whole life on soul-generated good ideas. That's not following Jesus. I'm not saying there's no reward in it at all, because I know there is. He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. Okay? But I do not want to spend my life coming up with my version of how to serve Him and asking Him to put His blessing on my plan. That's not how Peter followed Him. That's not how John and James and the rest of them, that's not how they followed Him. No. In the flesh, during the years when He was on planet Earth physically, they could literally follow Him. As He would go from city to city, they would follow Him. He would give them instructions. They would do what He said. They followed Him that way. But like I taught last year, there come a day when Jesus is telling them in John 14, 15, and 16, He's going, I'm fixing to leave. I'm going to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, but then I'm going to ascend to be with my Father in heaven. And they're going, how will we follow You now? And He says, I'm going to send you. I'm going to pray to Father, and He's going to send another Comforter. He's the one that's going to lead you. He's not going to speak of His own authority. In other words, He's not coming to replace my lordship. He's not coming to be your Lord. But what He hears, that's what He speaks. You all remember that? Okay, I'm going real quick through it because we went in great detail last year. So the Holy Spirit is with each one of us individually, but being God, He's also with Jesus all the time. And whatever he hears, it's a stroke of genius from God's point of view. Think of the millions of believers on planet Earth just today. And if it was like it was in the James and John's day, if we wanted to physically hear from Jesus, we'd have to physically be in his presence, or all of us have his email address. I need my instructions for the day. I don't know what to do. But in a way, God has solved that dilemma, because the Holy Spirit, being infinite and being omnipresent, he is everywhere at all at once. But what that means is, for all practical purposes, as far as Don's concerned, because he has, from the Holy Spirit's point of view, he has all eternity just for Don. And at that same moment, he has all eternity just for Wayne, and just for Gary, and just for Jim and Kathy, each one of us. Now, say that a little different, and it's like this. From your point of view, it's as though you have your own personal Holy Ghost. In other words, he's never in a big hurry because he has to get over to Wayne's house. Hurry up, can't you get this done? I'm trying to get this across to you. I've got to get over to Wayne. He's waiting for instructions. No, it's not like that, is it? I mean, from God's point of view, no wonder the devil has fought tongues so hard. I mean, the Holy Spirit, that stroke of genius to give us a method of communicating, bypassing all of this stuff in the soul that we've all been trained so diligently all these years, like you taught that Wednesday night. He gave us a method just instantly. You can bypass all that and be taught directly by the Holy Spirit to your human spirit, your reborn human spirit. And literally by that process, you can receive the very mind of Christ. And I mean in fine detail. In fine detail. Now, here's the problem, though, and I didn't see this for a long time. In the beginning of that process, see, it's like Jesus is seated in heaven. All of us are on, if you could picture a circle right here, like we're all on planet Earth, aren't we? I mean, we're physically flying through space on the third rock from the sun, right? Okay? We're all on planet Earth. But Jesus said, okay, you're in the world, but if you're born again, see, you're not of the world. So simultaneously, while we're in this physical, material world, there's like another sphere that we really live in called the realm of the Spirit. You could call it the kingdom of God. Okay? This, in our citizenship, our lineage, our spiritual heritage here, see, over there, when you're born on the rock, born on planet Earth, your spiritual lineage goes back to Adam. But when you get born again, your spiritual lineage goes to the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Heaven is our home. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And we're to receive our instructions from the head of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. But he's in heaven, and I'm living on planet Earth. How can I hear from you? God put the Holy Spirit is the go-between between the mind of Jesus in heaven and you on planet Earth. So I thought, this is going to be great. I'll start praying in tongues. And immediately, because ultimately, Jesus wants to use my body as though it was his own. He wants me to go and do what he would do if he had my body. And you see what I'm saying? Same thing with you. You know, well, all of us have different parts. One's a hand, one's an eye, one's an ear, one's a wallet. Okay? You know, I mean, you say, you know, how can Jesus give to the poor unless he can get one of us to do it? So anyway, so I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. I'll start praying in other tongues because I'm eager to get on with my mission. Here I am in the kingdom. I'm going to be taught by the Holy Ghost. But then, ultimately, I know that the end result is to go to war here and win this planet for Jesus. Amen? So I'm waiting for instructions for my ministry. And you know what happens at first, though? He starts dealing with the ground. He's going, you're not ready. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Oh, good. Give $5,000. No, I need a pickup. You understand? There was a day when I would no more have given no $5,000. You must be kidding. Not especially when I'm driving a 12-year-old pickup. You know, I'm going, hey. No, I was wanting instructions for my calling. He's wanting a vessel he can use. So in the beginning of this process, I mean, we're going, but my ministry, Lord, but my ministry. And he's going, the soil, the ground, whew, we've got to do some plowing here. I found some stones that's got to come out. There's some love of money in you, boy. Guess what? There's some part of you that wants to have a great big ministry and everybody know about you and you fly on private jets. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, if that's what he wants. But it's not okay. See, if you get saved, but before you got saved, your goal in life was to build a big company and be on the Fortune 500 cover. You know, can't you just see that same thing can just be transferred? You get born again, now you want to be on the cover of Charisma. But it's still your ego. See? Now, if God puts you on the cover of Charisma, He'll have a reason for it. But not to feed your ego, I'll tell you that. You can get on the cover of Charisma by your ego, but don't be saying God put you there. So the hard part is in the beginning, because the Holy Spirit, yes, we're born again in our reborn in our human spirit, but man, that soul, the ego, are you kidding? The emotions, part of that prophecy that came through was through Jim there a while ago. I can't say it the way the Holy Ghost said it, but one part of it was, they're going to talk ugly about you. Do you get that? If you're one speaking truth, listen, I like to be liked like everybody likes to be liked. And there was a point in time when I could be intimidated, okay? Because, hey, you know, I'd like to be liked. And if somebody didn't like me, it hurt me. I mean, it hurt me on the inside. My emotions would hurt. God has to, if He's going to really use you and send you in some difficult places, do you know there's churches where they publicly brand me a heretic and they demand that all their people bring in those Gary Carpenter tapes to be burned? I mean, that's serious. Even in South Africa, one of the churches I was teaching in, about halfway through it, the pastor gets up and walks out. Now, you've got to be a little bit dead not to compromise right there. And how did that happen? Did I just choose to be that kind of ground? The Holy Ghost had to make me that kind of ground. Now, that's called, as He's going through the... You just take any ground out there. Hey, I'm from Oklahoma. We have hard clay out there. Okay? I mean, if you've ever been out there, we've got some good ground, but I mean, the vast majority of it is just old hard clay. And if you're going to try and bust that up and grow a crop, buddy, you have got your work ahead of you. There is trees usually to be cut down, stumps to be pulled out. Then you got to start plowing that ground and finding the rocks and getting them out of there. I mean, it is a major, major job. I think my soul was the rockiest, most clay ground, full of thorns. The Holy Ghost, I mean, when I started yielding my spirit over to Him, He's going, well, this guy, he'll get offended just over anything. I mean, just look at him wrong and he's ready to fight you. How are we going to use him to speak truth and people get real ugly and let him walk in love? We got to get some of this ego stuff out of him. And I mean, the Holy Ghost started plowing deep furrows. And every now and then He hit something that's sensitive to me. We call that an impasse at the prayer center. Okay, something about your ego, something that you've cherished, you know, something that it's important to you. And now the Holy Ghost is saying, you're going to have to change that. What, did you see what they said about me? Yeah, forgive them. Did you hear what they said about me? Just forgive them. Now, see, until I can get past that point right there, there's only two things going to happen. I'm either going to get to the place where I can forgive them and continue to do what He told me to do, or I'm going to drop out of prayer. That's the only two choices there are. Because if I continue to pray, He's going to bring me right back to that same spot. And I go, no, I'm not going to forgive him. Another lap around Mount Sinai. Here we go. No, I'm not going to forgive him. Another lap around Mount Sinai. You know, 40 years if you want. But eventually, He's got to get whatever it is in my ego that will not forgive. That's got to go. And there's also the part in my ego that cares if they think I'm right or wrong. I only care if he thinks I'm right or wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you another thing about Gary Carpenter. I'm quick to repent. Because I know I don't know everything. In fact, my greatest strength is I know I don't know much. I have to depend on him. Are y'all getting anything out of this? We're so eager to just launch into our ministry. And ultimately, that is what He wants. He wants us to know who we are, where we're from, why we're here, but then also be equipped to walk that out. And what we're talking about tonight, if you're going to follow Jesus, hey, He knows you're born again. He knows you love Him. How do you say that? Okay. Let's say, I never taught it this way before. Let's say you live in a certain house, and to the left of you, on your street where you live, there are three mean neighbors. They're all lost. The first neighbor on your left, he's just a little bit mean. But he's mean. But he's lost. The one next to him is meaner than the first one. And he's lost. The third one is the meanest of them all. You're born again. Spirit-filled. You've been praying, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to witness to those three neighbors. Now, if you're the type of person where your emotions rule you, you may not even go out your front door. You see what I'm saying? The intimidation factor. Obeying Jesus is not easy on your emotions or anything else. I don't care what they tell you. Some people, the ground that they have right now won't even let them out the front door to go talk to neighbor number one. Let's say you pray in the Holy Ghost. He tears down the old man. He's building up the new man. Finally, you've got the courage. Bless God. You go out, you knock on the door, and you tell that guy that Jesus loves him. He smacks you across the face. You run back to your house going, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Now see, you're at one level of usefulness. But your emotions are overriding God's plan for your life. Is this making sense to you guys? The Holy Spirit's job, as we yield ourselves over to Him, He goes into those emotional realms and the reasoning part of us. What comes, there is a love and a peace and a security that comes from, you can't get it anywhere else but from Jesus. You become so secure in His love. You become so at peace with His peace that you can not only go witness to neighbor number one and him smack you, you can go right from that door to neighbor number two and he knocks you down on the ground. And you crawl to neighbor number three and you hand him a tract as he kicks you in the head. And that night, you're still in peace. And you had a great day. Why? Because you did the will of the Master. There is no bypassing. I used to think there is a way to bypass it. The way to bypass the purging of the Holy Ghost is to spend the rest of your life doing your plan for Jesus. Because you can do that at the emotional level where you are. That's why you devised it. I can operate this way and my emotions are okay. Because I'm the one that came up with this plan. And my emotions can handle this. And it's not like He won't bless that. He will. But you can't tell me that's the same as come and follow me. There's a big difference between, there's all the difference in the world between those two things. Come and follow me. And I know if you're at this church, you want the latter. Now, I know you get excellent teaching here. I know you get Dave's tapes, many of you, and other tapes. Alan Taylor came through last week. He is one of the directors for Norville Hayes' ministries, young man that we just really admire. Boy, he had a line, I'm just going to steal it. Now, tonight I'm going to tell you that it was his. I don't know if I'll continue to do that. This one is so good, though. He said, don't we all want to walk in truth? He said, do you ever know there's a big difference between revelation and truth? And at first I thought, revelation knowledge. I thought, well, revelation knowledge is truth is what I'm thinking there, you know. He says, no, revelation is the path to truth. But it's not truth for you till you're walking in it. How many of you have heard messages taught by Pastor Jim and others for so long about the benefits of praying in other tongues, to the point you could probably teach others and do a fairly good job. You have the revelation knowledge, but are you walking in that truth? It may be revelation to you, but is it the truth that you walk in? I'd like to be an invisible stopwatch person with a little timesheet. So many of the people that want counsel from Sue and I, and we're happy to do that. But they always tell you in counseling, I'm praying. I mean, they're doing everything. I'm praying, I'm confessing, I'm worshiping, I'm reading my word, I'm doing all that. But it ain't working. Now, before I got purged, I used to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. There's no such thing as God's Word not working for you. But anyway, what I'd really like is to follow them around. See, because they may have the revelation. They may be so deceived that they think they're actually doing this. But I would like to follow them around invisibly with a little stopwatch and a checkboard. And for 1 week, just time. See, how much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you really spend in worship? How much time did you yourself open up your Bible when nobody else was around? You and the Holy Ghost read that rascal. And how much of the time did we find you walking around your house confessing God's Word? I'm afraid it would be scary. You want me to quit? Some of them are going. They're not sure. You notice they hesitated, you know? Now, Gary, how do you know that? Because I've lived it myself. Hey, there's times when we do really good. You know, man, I'll be in prayer and I'll be in doing the things that we should be doing. Used to, in the beginning now, it was impasses. I'd hit some impasses and I'd get knocked out of prayer. I mean, I just can't do that. Whatever it was, you know, I can't handle that. And it might knock me out for a few weeks, but then that hunger keeps building and I'd get back in prayer again. He's going to bring you right back. But in the early days, it was impasses that would kind of knock you out of your prayer time and all. Later on, you have a different problem. It's not the impasses so much anymore. It's getting too busy. I'm telling you, when the Lord gets to where you... Once you start affecting the world with the ministry that Jesus really has for you, listen, the world is hungry for Jesus. And if you ever get to the place where some of Him flows through you to them, boy, they want you. Okay? That's when you're going to have to fight like a crazy man, even more than in the beginning. You fight for an hour to get away and pray. You fight for an hour to go worship. It's so easy to get caught up in ministry that you never have time to spend with Him who's doing the ministry. The Lord Himself. Got to watch that. So, again, I guess I'm headed towards a closing here somehow. Boy, this was different. How'd y'all like all those verses we got? The Holy Spirit just captured me with that. But listen, we're coming into a time. You're going to need to know His voice yourself. It won't do for me anymore. I can't stand and say I don't know. I do know. I know exactly what to do in order to hear my Master's instructions. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in worship. You're going to be getting your instructions because that's what the Holy Ghost is here to do. I say it to it this way. The number one question that we get at Gary Carpenter Ministries from people, and they're sincere people, they're saying the number one question is, please, Gary, please, could you tell me how to find out what my calling is? I promise you this. You spend time consistently with the Holy Ghost. He may never come and say, thou art called to be this. But I will tell you this much. He's not come to lead you on Jim's call. He's not come to lead you on my calling. You spend enough time with the Holy Ghost, you can't be anything else but what He's called you to be.
Right, right.
He'll move you into it. I mean, you'll wake up right in the middle of your ministry and it's God called and God ordained and God empowered. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what He's here to do. So I just exhort you one more time, especially based on that, we're coming into a season. We need to learn how to hear from God ourselves. That's all. He's made every provision. You've got the new birth. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got like 14 versions of the Word of God in our libraries. Time to get on with it. Amen? Did that bless you at all? Give the Lord a hand for it. Hallelujah.